for playing games is done. Adversaries all better run. We're coming up to reach the top. Unbeatable and we'll never stop. We're the ones in charge. Yeah. We're staying living large. Yeah. We're the one who fly. Yeah. They don't ever have a chance. Why do they even try? Everybody, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rock your body, yeah, yeah, yeah. Time to party, yeah, yeah, yeah. 'Cause the backseat boys are back.
And we are back. What's up, backseat boy Tommy Grayson? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself, Mr. Holy Johnny Cashmere?
Holier than thou, at least. Here we are at the Roll the Dice Recap Special, Season 4. How do we have such a long history? When did this happen, Thomas?
I don't know, Jonathan. I think it was safe to say about a year ago, you and a certain Jay Pizzle decided to go live on Instagram and had a few guests, the cast of which included, but was not limited to, of course, Fonzie and one of the Bushwhackers. I believe Bushwhacker Luke, if I'm not mistaken, and Mo Jabari. So that sort of inspired, you know, us backseats to, you know, sort of tap into our imaginations a little bit. And here we are about a full, you know, almost a full year later and four seasons of Spocast and, you know, two seasons of Trip TV and many, many belts later. And here the fuck we are. And several betrayals later. Don't think I haven't forgotten.
We don't curse anymore on here now. We'll get to that in a little bit. That was the last curse you will hear on the Spocast. We will explain later, but yeah. So tonight is looking good, guys. We got a lot going on. Donnie B is going to pop in a minute. So we're just getting started. We have a lot to talk about. We got to recap the JCW tour, which I don't know how you're even still alive and standing and not asleep. God bless you. So we got to recap the JCW.
I was born dead.
So recap the tour. We got to recap the show. And we got to give an update on my brother Robbie and his condition, which we will get to in a little bit. So here's the show for tonight, guys. That's right, everybody. So before we get to Robbie being hellevacked from the roof of the Chester Harris Casino by his own demand. Yes, you heard that right. My goodness. So let's talk about the tour. Before we get to that, before Donnie B drops in, before we talk about the event, which, by the way, we have to thank everyone, the city of Chester, Mayor Roots, Mike Hamilton, Hybrid Wrestling. We have new champions. We have so much to talk about here, guys. So stay tuned. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But first, I want to hear a little something about this tour, brother. So it was, what, a 9-day tour that you went on?
9 days. You were there for the last or the second to last day in Detroit. The last 2 days were actually in Detroit because my Juggalos and Juggalettes know ICP are always known to start their travels and finish their tours in Detroit because it's the city that made them. So we started off in Tennessee, headed down to Alabama, and each night was a different city. Each town or venue, I should say, gradually felt like it got bigger and better, and the matches progressively got better. We had a hell of a run. You know, our first JCW Tag Team Championship reign came to an end thanks to a certain someone's spiritual retreat going and influencing a certain tag team to, you know, I guess, take their guidance elsewhere, so to say. But we were able to pick up the gold where it mattered. Yeah, you could go ahead and show them. That's the Altar Boys, Bangin' Matthews, teaming up with Mr. Holy Man himself, Johnny Cashmere Cage, in the Christian themed tights. You know, they look good on you, John. You know, they look good, just like your haircut, you know. But
I like it. I'll tell you what, man, these guys are studs, man. These guys are thoroughbreds. I see something in them. Now listen, man, it's not that I had to turn on you guys for any reason other than your flagrancy. You guys get flagrant, you gotta be smacked back down to size, and that's what I'm here for. And this is why it has to happen, man. I had to put the fear of God in you guys. And let me tell you something. The Bang Brothers, man, I'm a loyal guy. You see how I am with my old friends. You see how I am with Rick Blade, GQ, John Zandig, Donnie B, Todd Gordon. Imagine how loyal I'm going to be to these guys, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. Until a new shinier toy, until a new shinier toy comes by. But anyway, you know, it was real good. There's pictures of us and our dudes, Facade and Too Tough Tony, the man who saved us that night. Otherwise we would have been crucified, because that's what you, people like doing. You like crucifying us Jewish people, you know, up on crosses and tea gimmicks, but you know,
you can't say that. Like I said, we are now a family entertainment company. We are superpowers. And we are excited to have the city of Chester behind us and the mayor's office behind us. And we have some pretty big announcements coming soon, and Buffalo Wild Wings. So keep that in mind, Thomas, as we move forward.
I don't
want to have to punish you again.
Yeah, don't punish me again. But anyway, this is a picture from our second night over in Alabama. Awesome town. We got to team with Too Tough Tony against the Southern Six. Facade and Danny Moe had a great showing throughout the entirety of the tour. The Neon Blondes, as they say. Danny Moe, of course, captured the first ever JCW women's title. This is a picture of all of the current JCW champions at the end of the tour. That was Hollow Wicked at the Masonic in Detroit. So from left to right, that is Danny Moe, the women's champion, who you'll notice is currently holding a pink belt. Keep that in mind. Yes. You have the JCW American champion, Caleb Conley, who was able to get in the last 4 days of the tour after being overseas defending his American championship internationally in Europe. Yep. You have the Chocolate Juggalo himself, Willie Mack, who the same night we reclaimed the JCW tag titles, reclaimed his JCW World Heavyweight Championship and is now a two-time JCW champion. And, of course, you have Tommy and JP, a.k.a. Tommy 2 Dope and Violent JP, the two-time JCW tag champs, the Backseat Boys. And because I'm such a man of my word, if you can notice right there in the middle is a one Violent Mario J. Bruce, a.k.a. Violent J.
I always suspected he was an Italian like me and Robbie.
Well, if you'll notice, the red on the shirt and the hat matches the strap. Danny Moe actually was gifted a new women's championship.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, it's not pink anymore. It's red now.
So the actual concept for the women's title was that he wanted the rose to be the standout theme, and he wanted the rose petal to be able to match the color of the strap. So initially we were sent the pink belt, but upon further inspection, Violent J realized that he was also delivered a red strap, and the champion decided on the red strap. So there, of course, is the updated photo of the Duke and his champions. And of course,
what a venue too. Look at the building you're in. It almost looks like a church. I'm in preach. I want to preach.
you should have been there the second night, but you know, we chased you at the venue and you had to get on your first class plane ticket right back to New Jersey and attend your mass, you know, because you're a very, very, very spiritual man, Johnny Cashmere. I know this.
Well, but it happens. Gotta be what you gotta be, man. That's all there is to it. Well, so and I was going to say there was a Luigi too. I would have wanted to be Luigi. I for some reason identify with Luigi.
Right. Well, this is the picture that I waited my entire life to take. The Backseat Boys and the Insane Clown Posse, or the Insane Mario Brothers. From left to right, we got Violent J, JP Grayson, Tommy Grayson, and Shaggy 2 Dope right before they were about to start their meet and greet. And let me just tell you, ICP, 30 years, they know what the fuck they're doing. Excuse my language. They know exactly. I'm sorry, Johnny. It's going to take me a minute.
I just removed him. I can still see him talking. Are you going to behave? I'll let you back in.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to behave. I'm sorry. Right, I got to get used to this. Just like I got to get used to, you know, you and I being on opposing sides right now. Okay. We're going to have to get some bleeps like this is a cable television. Anyway, God, I lost my train of thought now.
Is it a train of terror thought that you lost?
Yes, it was. That's what I was going to say. ICP, they have not lost their step. 30 years. They sound just as good live as they do on record. They killed it. 9 days, 9 shows, one of which was streamed live on Triller TV. You could catch the replay up on Triller TV. Check out JCW Devil's Night for the Wild Bucks. I'm not going to say the first part of that phrase because we're a kid-friendly show now, kids. But Triller TV, check out the pay-per-view, Devil's Night, featuring a performance from the Insane Clown Posse under the Wild Bucks persona.
Did you guys catch that? Did everyone just catch the new, we're going to call these Series 2 Mark Memes. I just debuted the first one. It's me holding the Trent belt, pointing with the mark. And you earned it, Tommy. You got the first one. How about that?
Good. I'm so relieved. And just before, just to cap off the Train of Terror review, I want to show this picture right here from Hollow Wicked, Fago Armageddon. You'll see, speaking of Luigi's, we got Luigi Primo, who is actually on stage spinning his pizza during Fago Armageddon. You got me right there as Tommy Too Dope in my undergarments because I did not want to ruin any more clothes. You got Facade in the Echo Side paint, and you got some more Juggalos and Juggalettes in the background rocking the stage for Fago Armageddon. Wow. Now, for more footage of this, stay tuned for the next episode of Trip TV, which we will get into later on because we are going to be going through another reshuffling through the SPO Backseat Extended Universe syndication, so to say. So yes. Trip TV will be there will be a future episode. It will be delayed because Tommy Grayson's hard drive sort of took a hibernation, as we say. So we're currently waiting on that to get fixed and situated, but fear not, because all the footage is in fact right here and it is being worked on. You're going to see lots of awesome behind the scenes looks at from the Train of Terror tour, and it's all going to be updated. So fear not.
I can't wait. And everyone knows, if you've been following the story, the Backseat Boys story during the tour, you've seen some of it already. So Trip TV is going to become an exclusive Backseat television show, a Backseat brand, if you will. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be starting a new one for SPO. It'll be called the SPO Super Power Hour. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be coming very soon. And that'll be with footage of the event we just had this Saturday. So what else happened on the tour? Anything else you need to smarten us up about, or was that everything?
That was pretty much everything that I could think of. You know, at the end, all the Juggalos were standing tall. Everyone was happy. Everyone felt accomplished. And, you know, I was able to fly home and, you know, defend the SPO Wrestling Tag Team title at Roll the Dice.
I still can't believe it. Talk about Iron Man. Like, you guys were not advertised for Roll the Dice. I did not expect to have yous there. I'm amazed at the punishment you put your bodies through on that tour. You know, when Danger Ginger and BJ did their recap special Sunday night, which you can watch on YouTube, guys, put the link in the chat. They even talked about that they were amazed that you guys, what you did to your bodies, working more than once each night in Battle Royals and defending your titles and all that you guys had to do. And then to come home and go right to another show and wrestle was amazing. And I got to hand it to you guys. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. So whatever I did to you guys out there obviously worked, because your work ethic is through the roof right now. So
good. Yeah, no, definitely. If there's one thing that Johnny Cashmere is good for, it's putting everyone to work and making you feel like, you know, you've never done enough, even when you physically can't work anymore. So, you know, and not to put myself over, but this is the SPOcast after all. All right. You know, just to sort of peel back the curtains a little bit, my number one takeaway was that, you know, the future of pro wrestling can exist only with a locker room that is unified as the leader. And basically what that means is that through the power of JCW and SPO and everything else, the Backseat Boys have been inspired to exist not only in the squared circle, but beyond the parameters of pro wrestling, meaning that our skills are flexed not only in the ring, but behind the scenes as well. So basically, if you know, you know, and if you don't know, now you know.
Sorry. I had to debut the Homicide, the Series 2 Homicide, and these will all be stickers eventually, like this.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. I got new Trent Acid Mark stickers are officially out now. Yep. And I want to give a quick shout out, because I did this on the Humble Among broadcast the other day. I want to give a quick shout out to the homie CJ for these awesome masks.
They are awesome. Dude. Yes.
Yep.
Wow.
So there's also Violent J, Wraith, and regular that JP rocks as well. So
I like it.
The set is complete.
I love it. Yeah. Yep. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, man.
Look, Boofa said he needs one for the boombox.
Speaking of
Boofa, you know what? I got a cue. Let's get to the show a little bit.
Let's do it up.
All right. Watch this, you guys. This is a little clip of Boofa's entrance with Rerun. Check this out. Now, that is not the real Fred Berry. That is a cosplayer. He cosplays as Fred Berry. So if you guys remember, a few months ago, me, Robbie, Tommy went to meet the guys from What's Happening. Raj, Ernest Thomas, Dwayne, Haywood Nelson, and Rerun was there with them. So we met Rerun. We said, dude, you've got to come out with Boofa. They met Boofa. They hit it off. And now they're together. And it's just it's wonderful. I'm so excited. But Boofa, my God, what a show, dude. He's like the Sandman entrance, but for kids. Kids loved Boofa, dude.
That term has been thrown around a lot lately. And I think there's something to be said for wrestlers who can have such a captivating entrance that, you know, the crowd can get behind because, you know, a lot of times that's what people pay to see. You know, they pay to see you walk to the ring. You know, what you do in the ring oftentimes is like, it's secondary. It's still important nonetheless, but a lot of times it's, you know, so much thought and time and effort is spent into your entrance music and whatnot. So when we say the term Sandman entrance, what we're really saying is these guys let it all out and they give the fans their money's worth in their entrance, just like Hack did. You know, people paid to hear Enter Sandman. They didn't pay to see Sandman wrestle. They paid to listen to Enter Sandman. That's just a fact. So, you know.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right, man. And man, it was just neat. It was a lot of fun and the crowd loved them and the kids were going, Hey, yo, and stuff. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. So, but I'll tell you guys what, I'm going to introduce our co-host right now. The man who insisted we prepay him via Cash App for the event Saturday and then no-showed. And now is refusing to give the money back. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie B, my mentor, taught me everything I know.
Donnie
how could you?
What'd you say?
Donnie Fatu. That's my gimmick name.
Donnie, how could you?
I know. Well, in full disclosure, I'll take the hit on that one. I had told Johnny a couple days before, maybe the beginning of the week, that we had a field hockey banquet as well. And my daughter was involved in it. So I had to go, man. Believe me, I wanted to come to the event. I was dying to come.
No, it's cool, Donnie. I told Donnie, I said, dude, I know you want to manage the back seats. They're not even going to be at the show. I hung up the phone. You're like, yeah, I'll go do something else, blah, blah, blah. Hang up the phone with you. I get a text. Yo, we're going to be at the show, cuz. It's how it felt.
I saw that the next day. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought they were in Hawaii.
It was so long story short, we were supposed to be, and just by day six of the travel, just us and Jay were just like, we're exhausted, we're beat, and the golden rule in wrestling is nothing is ever guaranteed, and he was like, boys, I'm tired. I'm like, say less. I'm like, just like your song says, I'm going home.
Yeah.
But it's all good. You know, the tour went off without a hitch. It was very successful.
It looked awesome, dude.
Yeah, there were people that were repping JCW over in Hawaii. Shouts out to Too Tough Tony, Caleb Conley, M-Dog, Matt Cross, and, of course, Officer Colt Cabana. They all, you know, repped the hatchet, of course. And Jay, of course, watched both events from the comfort of his own home, you know. So if you ask me, that's a win-win. When the general could sit at home and have soldiers coast-to-coast getting work done and you could pop in via satellite, like, that's the way you win a war.
I thought it was cool shit. I watched some of it, some clips. I saw Colt's thing. I love Hawaii. I love Honolulu. And Emil, he had posted some pictures. And I said to him, dude, I know that exact spot you're in. It was right near the Duke, the statue of the Duke. And sure enough, it was. I sent him a picture of my daughters and my wife in front of that same statue. So I love Honolulu. It's one of my favorite places on earth. We're actually going back next summer. But the tour, I'm so proud of you guys. You went out there and did it. You killed it. It was just so cool seeing like you guys being part of a big deal. So I don't know, man. I was really excited for you guys to be part of that. And I heard the show Saturday was fantastic. You know, from what I read and what I saw, it was well done. Yeah, it's cool, man. I'm proud of you guys.
Yeah. Well, sneak peek, but keep your eyes peeled and your ears open. There will be more JCW events before the end of the year, right before we are set to debut weekly events. We are just finalizing that. I can't comment or speculate just this minute. But you know, all we could say is that it will be a lot closer to home than a lot of people would expect. So Sweet. Stay tuned on that.
Yeah. If there's something in the tri-state area, one of those, and I can make it, I'll definitely go to that. I've never seen any kind of juggalo thing. I've never been to it.
Donnie, I think you would find it super fascinating and really get a kick out of it.
I do. I find the whole gimmick, the whole thing fascinating. Their whole longevity and it's the way they've been relevant for the last fucking 20 something years, dude. That's amazing.
I mean, every town we were in, except for Detroit, was sold out. And go figure, you know, the theme was no hero is ever welcome in their home. You know, they always make money on the road. And that's kind of, you know, how a lot of us have felt is, you know, it's very hard to make money here on the East Coast. But for some reason, a lot of our, you know, the stuff that we've been doing lately has been in the Midwest. So it's sort of a bit ironic that while everything was very successful, you know, I never would have imagined wrestling in a sold out show in Alabama or St. Louis.
That's what I'm saying, man. You know, like that's the magic of this thing. Like,
right.
You guys loaded up the suitcase. You hit the road. You were on the proverbial train to nowhere, just getting out there and making your towns and doing your shows and honing your craft in front of other audiences. That's what journeymen and that's what they do. That's what the fuck you guys are supposed to be doing as pro wrestlers.
Right.
You know, that's the objective. If you want to get to AEW, WWF one day or something, like that's the fucking deal, bro. Like,
yep.
That's it.
Yep. We're trying to do no more cursing on here now that we're doing business with the mayor's office in Chester.
Oh, sorry, Mayor.
No,
I take a hit on that one.
You're good. You're good.
I'm working blue.
No, you're good. Tommy already got us kicked out of the city.
I got my three strikes. You're out, so I can't curse anymore. But Relic, we definitely want to come to Dallas. Dallas is a known clown town. You know, just we would love to, man. And thank you for tuning in yesterday to the Humble Among broadcast and tonight, man. You've been awesome.
Cool. So, Donnie, we're going to do a little recap of the show in a minute, but first let me show you your new wrestling creator wrestler cause. Look at that.
Somebody sent that to me or something the other day. And dude, I had to like look at that thing long and hard. I'm like, "Holy shit, dude. Not only do I look awesome, but I was like, that is an incredible rendition of I want to say, Johnny, what is that? 94, 95?
When you had that suit?
1994? Yeah, what year would you say that was?
99.
99. But yeah. I had that exact outfit, dude. That suit, that shirt, that necklace, and those glasses, and that hair.
It's dead on.
I showed that to my wife, and she was like, "Wowza, who's that guy?"
Yeah.
I was like, "That's 50 pounds ago and a lot of hair, but I'm getting back to it. I won't have
check
the hair again." But
on Instagram, it's at Wrestling Cause. That's CAWS, stands for Create a Wrestler.
That's amazing how he can do that shit, dude.
I don't know.
Shout out, by the way, can I give a quick shout out, as the kids say?
Please.
I Hate Artists. We had our big Halloween party a few weeks ago. I haven't been on here since then, but I Hate Artists had created a Halloween poster for our party, and everybody that was at the party, they all signed it, and I'm going to put it in a nice frame and hang it in my house, but everybody was telling me how cool they thought that poster was. They were like, "Where did you get this?" And I put over I Hate Artists big. He was cool as shit, dude. Just a good dude, and he did great work. Is. So if anybody out there needs any kind of artwork, graphic design, I Hate Artists on Instagram, or just reach out to any of us. We'll put you in contact with them. Very affordable rates, quick turnaround, and just a cool, unique style that you don't really see anywhere. He has his own unique style. I love it. So it was cool as shit.
He's awesome.
Thank you, I Hate Artists.
Yep, awesome. So the event, you guys, at Harrah's, I can't thank the city enough. I can't thank Mike Hamilton of Hybrid Wrestling enough for bringing us in there. What an event. Donnie, I had so much fun. It was just, I was smiling all day, you know.
That's the key, bro.
It was so happy, so fun. The people of Chester came out. There were so many kids and families, dude. You would have adored it. So awesome. It was phenomenal. The first match, I went out and opened up the show and welcomed everyone. And I brought out the mayor of Chester. And I brought out, of all things, you're not going to believe it, Donnie, it was the Hank, the Buffalo Wild Wings mascot was there. So the Wild Wings was there, and they gave out a whole bunch of stuff. And you see him giving out candy there. But you're not going to believe it, Donnie.
He worked.
Wow. He wrestled. He tagged with GQ against Robbie and Ruckus Blackout, and we'll get to it in a minute, but man, it was neat.
That shit's cool, man. Like, I remember years ago, Dino Sauna was running WWWA and PA, and he actually had the Philly Fanatic on a show.
There you
go. Worked against Ratchet and bumped Ratchet, but just that kind of shit, when you can get a local mascot in or something like that. I know some people clown on it and say, oh, it's lame, but that kind of shit's important, man. That's what the crowd remembers.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it is. It always is. The mascots and stuff are the things that always resonate with the everyday audience, because bottom line, you see it every day. You're not going to see wrestling. You're not going to see a wrestling ring every day unless you look for it. But, you know, you might drive by that Buffalo Wild Wings on your daily commute. You might pass it on your way to school.
You'll remember him. You'll remember the mascot. It's the same thing when I say, like, if you go to a show and there's 10 matches and they were all the same with a million moves and all this other nonsense, and Shockwave the Robot's on it, who are you going to remember?
Right.
You're going to remember Shockwave the Robot. I'm just saying, using him as an example, dude. The more Prince stuff you can have on your... The more stuff, the back seats, more stuff you can have on a show that's different than everybody else, the better off you are. That's what people... People remember different.
Yeah. So, first match was Primal Fear. So, Matt Omen and Gabriel Hodder against the Rep. Donnie, you're the one that originally was like, you guys got to use the Rep. And what animals, what dominant beasts. I think they said it on the recap show Sunday night that they literally, Primal Fear had to make one mistake and the Rep were able to capitalize. Rep are monsters, rep are animals. And what's crazy is Primal Fear are some of the best tag technicians I've seen in a long time.
They're good.
But how do you match yourself against behemoths?
It's good versus great. That's the difference. Good has to go against great to become great. The Rep just need a chance. I've been saying that for like the last 2 years. They just need a goddamn chance, man. Like, somebody take a chance on them, whether it's TNA or NWA. Just get them on a little bigger platform. They can talk. They look legit. They can work. They have it all, man. The promos are phenomenal. Dude, they're great. Nate's one of the best promos out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even close. When he cuts his promo, it's like, holy cow, I believe everything that's coming out of this guy's mouth. And Dave McCall just says, he says just enough to compliment what Nate does.
I think the two of them, chemistry-wise, and not to cut you off, Donnie, but I think the two of them, chemistry-wise, complement each other perfectly for guys who aren't brothers or like a sibling tag team. You know?
Would think they were. That's what's cool. I love tag teams where each guy was a little bit different.
Right.
The same. The Midnight Express, Dan and Bobby, they couldn't have been more different, but they were similar. The LOD, they were the only ones. They were kind of the same. If you want to call Hawk the move guy and Animal the power, but the Hart Foundation, British Bulldogs. That's what I'm saying, man. I've always thought the best tag teams... You and JP.
Right. Exactly. Well, we're brothers, but we don't look identical.
Exactly. Yeah. Even you guys, Johnny and Trent.
Yeah.
Johnny was a ground technician, a little more. Trent was the insane high flyer. That's what it is. I always thought those teams were the best. Why would you have a team where each person was exactly the same? It's not a team, it's just two individuals.
Well, I think too, the Rep, and obviously I've went to war with them, so I probably know them better than anybody, but I think they are as good of a tag team as it gets, because they take it serious. They take the art of tag team wrestling serious. They're not doing it because they have to. They do it because they're really freaking good at it, and they work well together, and they realize that the future is the two of them standing side by side and not individually. 100%. And it takes a smart wrestler to know their role and play their position, because anybody can go out there and try and chase it themselves. But to say, no, I work better with my brother side by side with me, irregardless of if we're blood or not, you know, that's how you know, like, you got something together. And the Rep have it. So it's like you said, all they need is somebody else to see what they have, because what they have is special.
Just need a chance, man. Like, that the thing that WWE is doing now, that independent wrestler thing or whatever, which I think is cool as hell. I came up with that. I thought of that a few years ago. I just never thought they'd actually do it. But I know you guys obviously are primed for it. You two couldn't be two more human beings that are more ready for that than you and your brother. But I would put the rep in there. I would put a call if I was Pop H or somebody. These guys,
Donnie,
just need
a lot of. A lot of tag teams are leveling up right now. I'm watching it with my own eyes. I can't explain why right now, but it's happening. I'm watching it. So honestly, like, you got to think, as this WWE ID program starts, they're just going to be looking for the shooting stars.
Exactly.
They're the ones that are going to get noticed.
Yeah.
And a lot of these tag teams are kicking ass right now.
I think the early part of 2025 is when something's going to break. I really do.
I think it's inevitable.
For you guys. So do I.
But the rep won. They hit their what they call the champagne toast, where they power bomb these guys into each other in the middle of the ring. It's the most dangerous, haphazard thing I've ever seen. I don't know how guys even continue their careers after it. Like, I'm just seriously, like, anyway. But it was a great match, and the crowd was firmly behind Primal Fear. Primal Fear debuted with us at WrestleMania. They've only wrestled like three times.
No, I think those guys are great too.
They've only wrestled twice,
and they got the crowd.
Yeah,
so that was a great match.
They're great. Yeah, I think they're good. Yeah,
match two. We just showed the beginning of match two. That was Bufa Ayo, who's back from World Tour, and Donnie. Let me tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. First of all, it went long. Bufa went long, and he should know better because he's the veteran's veteran. But you can't get mad at him because he's so over. The crowd. Loves him.
What did the Rock say? The Rock say years ago. They can't get mad at you if it's great. No matter if you go over your time, they can't. If they can't say a word, if it's great,
nope. And that's what it is. He earned a shit, and he proved how seasoned he is. That's the word, by the way. If I'm gonna have to use a word to describe a lot of the wrestlers on the show Saturday, I'm gonna use the word seasoned.
That's a good word.
I was very impressed with a lot of them.
Yeah,
but anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. So next match, so this match, Philly Mike couldn't make it.
I don't know, couldn't get off
work or some shoot job. I don't know what it was. Whatever. But we had Hyena Hex on call, who debuted last event, and he's phenomenal. So that match was great. Those guys killed it. I love watching those guys wrestle. Bufa pulled out the victory, but man, the highlight of the night of that match, I think, was what Bufa did off the top rope, the big. Like, X Factor was just phenomenal.
Really?
And the kids loved him. Yeah, dude. Bufa can fly, man. And he paces a match beautifully. It just keeps, it's like a roller coaster going up, 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 up. So,
because he knows how to work.
He does.
You know what I mean? Like, what's the shock?
Exactly. So, listen.
A fan of him.
So, Todd Rod Newton is the name of the impersonator of Rerun.
I saw that. I was in such blissful glee watching that.
Bro, he was at the Apollo last week.
Did he rub the stump or whatever when he come out on stage?
He's our guest here next week on the Spokecast.
Oh,
so we're going to ask
me. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yep.
Oh, my God. You just made my whole week, dude.
He'll be here next week. So we're going to have him here to talk about.
Hey, Raj. I want him to say that just one time for me. Hey, Raj. I know.
Try to stop him. Are you kidding? He will. Yes. No, he's awesome. He did so good, dude. The locker room. He got along with everyone. He was great. I love that dude. Can't wait. What'd you think, Tommy? Did you get to watch any of it?
The show, the match?
Yeah, the Bufa match and all that.
Oh, no. We were just talking about it beforehand. We thought it was awesome, man. You know, like, Bufa is one of those guys. He gives people their money's worth. He's great.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, he did. And then so after Bufa, so they're dancing in the ring. Kurt Robinson comes out, Donnie, and you know, he's like a party pooper. He spoils the party, but man, he's doing really good. Kurt is Rob Dimension's son. We talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt, Steve Carino's, you know, buddy's kid.
Yeah.
And he trains at Catch Point, Drew Gulak school.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a great talent. And him and HC Loke went out there and the crowd hated him, man. They're good on the microphone, bro. It was really good. You'd have been proud of him.
There's so much good talent out there right now that has the chance to become great. And I think, in order really to get to the next level, you're going to have to be great. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be so many guys that are good. You're going to have to break away from the pack, whether it's gimmick or promos. That's the kind of stuff. Everyone's going to be similar as far as athletics goes, because you've all been watching the same style. and doing the same thing and being taught by the same people for the last 10 to 15 years. So that's not going to change. So you got to, the work ethic, no one can teach you work ethic. No one can outwork you. You can't get beat on that. Gimmick, promos, that's what's going to separate you guys. You got to bring something to the table that they can't find. You got to give them a reason not to hire you. You got to think of something that nobody else is doing, or do it a different way, build a better mousetrap. And I'm telling you, man, that's the way to do it. Or do something to get seen.
I feel you, man. I feel
become
you.
Become a TikTok star. Yeah. I have a 15-minute too when we get a chance. I won't do that.
You do? Well, we're almost, I'll tell you what. When we get to intermission, when we get to intermission, we'll do your gimmick. Yeah.
What's the one where I say bad shit about people? That's a 15-minute thing, right?
No, the shades. Well,
oh yeah,
50 shades and 50 shades, because we
whichever
do
one
light
I
side
can
of
complain
the
about something. So
I'll all right, awesome. Way. We'll get thank to that you in a few minutes. So they wrestled. It was Homeless Vaughn and Charlie Tiger in a street fight. Neat street fight, man. They looked like they were really hurting each other out there. It was freaking crazy, but a great match. Charlie pulled out the victory. When he literally just like Death Valley drivered Loke on the trash can and just obliterated the trash can. The crowd loved it. So. But you know Charlie, his energy, and Vaughn, the crowd loves him. The crowd was chanting Homeless Vaughn the whole time. So it was really a good time. I loved it. I love watching them do what they do. And Kurt Robinson's one of the best talkers, period. Good guy, bad guy, doesn't matter.
Yeah, word up.
Good match. So after that, we got the women's match. Donnie, you ever see Tasha Steelz wrestle? From TNA?
No, I've heard of her, but I know who she is. I never saw her work.
Here's another match where the word seasoned comes to mind. First of all, Christina Marie was at her all-time most gorgeous I've ever seen her, and I don't mind saying it because it's the truth. She looked amazing.
She's really excelling, by the way. I see her all over social media. She has, you talk about leveling up, she's putting herself in position to be noticed.
Yes, and she's working like a seasoned veteran now. The match they had was great. The crowd was so into it. We have a new women's champion. Tasha Steelz won, and mostly because of a Jim Molyneux miscommunication. And then I heard that he got fired by Christina. Did you guys even know this? Did you know this, Tommy?
I heard it through the rumor mill, but I wasn't sure if it was official or not.
I was in the building. I didn't see it happen, but apparently she fired him. But, man, the kids went nuts when Tasha won that match. Donnie, you should have seen it, man. They love her.
Wow.
Yep. And Homeless Vaughn took a post-match nap on Chef the Ref's lap. And by the way, Chef the Ref and BJ and Danger Ginger did an amazing job on the recap show on their YouTube.
They really did. They really did. Check that out, though.
The three of them were just perfect together. It's definitely got to be them moving forward, too, I would say.
Yeah.
I love when you can have other people join kind of like in the ecosystem or like the biosphere that you're creating here with Spo, and you can have other people come in that are like part of the family and join it, and you know, a community that didn't exist before. I think that is so cool when you can do that with a company, dude. Have these other outside people come in and join forces and help and just propel the whole thing forward. I'm a big fan of that synergy. I've always has been.
Well, me too. So next, Blackout came out to the ring. They, you know, Robbie, my brother, we know that he has a big mouth. We know that he speaks his mind. We know he's passionate. He's hot-blooded, the whole nine yards. So he comes out, and this stuff started at the celebrity boxing press conference in, like, what, July, was it?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I don't mean to be an ungrateful prick.
Whoa.
Right. But I'll tell you what, Robbie just keeps picking at the mayor, and the mayor got involved. Anyway, a lot of stuff goes down. The mayor brings out GQ. GQ doesn't have a tag partner. They end up saying they're going to let the Buffalo Wild Wing wrestle. And Robbie says, no, he's not a wrestler. Well, the mayor gave him a license, a wrestler's license, and that ended up that's being cool. A tag match. So Blackout versus GQ and Hank from Buffalo Wild Wings. And the crowd loved Hank. Hank got the hot tag. GQ looked phenomenal. Another seasoned, just looked awesome. Hasn't been in the ring in a long time, and you'd never know it. That's an amazing thing. Robbie Marino, Robbie Illuminati, we call him now, and Ruckus got speared by Goldberg.
Really?
Yes. It was awesome. Goldberg was there with the light heavyweight title. meeting people, greeting people. It was awesome. What are you looking at, Donnie? What's up there?
Election results. I'm not a big mark for that. I don't know. It says this board right here, it says Harris 3, Trump 23. I think that's the Electoral College count.
Gotcha.
Listen to us, as Rhodes Scholars. Listen, I know, just to sidetrack, whatever. I never reveal who I vote for. I think it's a personal choice, and the world would be so much better off if everybody just followed my lead on that.
It's not supposed to be public knowledge.
It's so stupid when I see people, and this is no offense to anybody, but you are a complete asshole if you go on social media and brag about who you voted for.
I agree.
Your vote is going to implore me one way or the other how I'm going to vote. It's the stupidest thing. Like if I look at the TV and say, oh, Robert De Niro is voting for this one or Kid Rock's voting for that one, maybe I'll change my mind and follow him. You're an idiot if you do that. You are a class A idiot.
Politics and religion. Keep it off of social media, please. And thank you.
Never speak about money, politics, and religion. If you keep that, the secret to money is keeping a secret. If you follow those three things I just said, you'll never have an issue.
Bingo.
And never play cards with a guy named after a U.S. city. Remember that as well. Or trust a woman. Trust a woman with a tattoo of a dagger anywhere on her body. That's teamwork.
Interesting.
Those of you,
Donnie, you said you had a 15 minutes or a 50 shades that you wanted to get into.
I have a little 50 shades. Oh wait,
we're not there yet.
Yeah,
we're not there yet.
We're not in intermission yet.
What was after Hank the Buffalo?
Tommy, learn how.
I got to give you guys the update on Robbie.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So Ruckus claims he hurt his tailbone. That whatever either the mayor or whatever the Buffalo did to him hurt his tailbone, and he's not going to be able to like do any of his high flying anymore. He's acting like, and Robbie is in a neck brace. Robbie insisted on being hellevacked from the roof of Harris. Hellevacked. Insisted on it.
Who paid that bill?
Now, listen, this is so ridiculous. I can't even believe I'm saying this. He was at our mom's yesterday. I'm finding out now. She's got a bed in the living room for when she can't climb the steps. Well, lately she's been climbing the steps. So he's over there in a hospital bed in her living room ringing a bell, I found out.
For services? Like for food?
Yeah.
Or to fluff his pillows or to itch his...
So I'm going to end up going over there tomorrow and taking care of him.
I think it's absurd. That sounds
awesome. But it's Robbie. He's my brother. What am I supposed to do? There's no one I'm closer with. What am I going to do?
I would go help the man out. Give him two bells. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Do the right thing, Johnny. Continue the show. Yeah.
Just anyway.
Mark. Max.
Good work.
Yeah.
And that's the third one in the series. Series one. Next week we'll debut more, Donnie. I'm gonna put you in the series, but I don't have a picture of you pointing.
I'll make one. Make that wrestler cause figure to make me point. You can use that.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, I'll do that. See? All right. You ready?
Yes.
15 minutes of fame.
All right. This one's pretty simple, man. This one's pretty simple. And this is a little life lesson. And just not so much about wrestling, but as you all know, I am friends with Big AJ and, you know, Eric Justice and all that deal with TikTok. Nova and I are very good friends with the family. This past week, they were actually on the goddamn Tonight Show, dude. Last week, the Tonight Show, the vehicle, which was championed by Johnny Carson and then Leno and now Fallon, which with Conan in between. But to me, the fact that they were on the Tonight Show, and not only were they on the Tonight Show, bro, I have news for you. Their appearance was flawless, literally flawless. They got over their brand. They sounded great. They sounded articulate. They interacted with Jimmy perfectly, the whole bit. With that being said, I had found out a couple of days after that, there was a couple people, and I like these individuals, and this isn't directed towards them directly, but I found out that a couple people had some podcasts, and they went out there and kind of ripped him a bit and just said a bunch of derogatory things about Andrew and his group. And I don't want to get into particulars. This isn't really about that. What's more about is, I guess during that conversation, they had mentioned that Andrew did not deserve the upcoming spot that he has for AEW. he's wrestling on November 23rd at the pay-per-view against QT Marshall. And he's done a hell of a job building this matchup on his social media, dude. He mentioned and got over the pay-per-view on the Tonight Show. So no matter, I have no idea what his compensation, if any, is for this event. But to get that company mentioned on the Tonight Show and have an actual discussion about it is priceless. So he's holding up his end of the bargain. But they went on to say, like, again, he didn't deserve this spot in AEW. It just got me thinking, man, like, who deserves anything in the pro wrestling business? It's all about if you can sell tickets or not. And it just kind of, like, not irked me, but I was just like, who the hell is somebody else to say whether or not someone's earned something? Like, how do you know the backseat stage politics or what's going on in the discussions? Or you earn something if the guy who's running the organization, whether it's Vince or Tony or Dixie Carter or Billy Corgan or the ICP, say, listen, we want to book this guy for whatever reason. Then you've earned it. That's how you earn it. No, this ridiculous notion where a certain level of work or something has to be attained before someone has earned the right to be on something is so ridiculous. And here's how I'm going to prove it. He was at the World Series a few days later, AJ and his family. They were sponsored to go there. When he was at the World Series, and I know the conversation, I know this is true. I don't want to say how I know it's true, but this is a true conversation. He was approached by a current WWE wrestler who is a former world champion. And this world champion looked at him and started having a conversation and said, I know you're going to get BS from some of the boys about not earning this spot. It's not being yours. You shouldn't be on this. You don't deserve it. Well, F them. He said, if they deserve the spot, they would be in it. And he commended Andrew because Andrew insisted that this be on the pre-show, his match against QT. He didn't want it to be on the pay-per-view because he didn't want to take a spot from one of the full-time boys on a pay-per-view. That's why this match is on the pre-show. He thought it would be in the best interest of the company to attract a lot of attention on the pre-show, with the theory being you would then buy the pay-per-view, which is great. And this world champion commended him on that. He commended his whole deal and knew who he was and just put him over like $1 million. And to Andrew, it meant the world because he thinks very highly of this individual. But the crux of it was, even he agreed, like, who is anyone to tell someone who's earned something, especially if that person really hasn't done much? So that's my whole deal with this. Guys and gals out there, listen, man, never count someone else's money and never begrudge one of the boys if they're successful or the girls. Worry about your own stuff. Don't worry about what someone else has earned or whether or not they've truly earned it. That is such a ridiculous notion. And I mean, if that was the case, Nova would have been a world champion in the WWE. You know what I mean? As far as work ethic all goes. But that's always been a thing on my mind when people complain about, oh, these guys are getting that or they're getting it. That's BS. Like, I should have that spot. No, you shouldn't. Because if you should have, you would have. That's it, the bottom line. So that's my shades for this week. If you truly deserve something, go out there and get it. But don't begrudge someone else if they have it. That's just piss poor, man. It's lame. It doesn't accomplish anything. And I heard Andrew say, and he said this on the podcast, and I thought it was very wise. The commentators asked him, how do they deal with all the negativity and hate that they get? And because his son was saying sometimes it's a little upsetting if you read some of that. And Andrew quickly shut it down. He said, negativity or positivity, which one is going to win? And the host said, I don't know. He said, the one that you feed into. He said, we don't feed into negativity. We don't feed into it all. We completely don't even acknowledge its existence. We don't clap back at anyone that says anything negative about us or to us on social media. We completely ignore them. And I thought that was so brilliant. Yeah. You know, just because something's out there doesn't, you have the right to your opinion, doesn't mean I have to listen to it. You could say something's a shit or you don't like something. Okay, just move on, completely ignore it. And that's what they've done. And that's why they're successful. And yep. I think it's cool, man. Everybody can learn a little lesson from the way they're handling this, in my opinion. And if you don't like that, okay, that's cool. It's my opinion.
Well, two things. So, there you go. Two things, Donnie, because you brought up a lot of interesting points. The first being about if they deserve their spot enough. First of all, not that it really matters, but Andrew, I'm sorry, if I'm not mistaken, is a former professional wrestler. He
for
did
me.
for you. So he does have experience in the business. He has paid his quote unquote wrestling dues many years ago, number one. Okay. Number two, this business, especially nowadays, is built off of what an individual can bring to the table for said program. That goes for every company, whether you are on NWA, WWE, or anything in between. They are looking for brand ambassadors that they do not have to train beyond, hey, don't screw up, don't be an idiot, go out there and make us some money. So the fact that Andy and his brand can make them more money than half the guys, or more than half the guys, in how many years, it's a no-brainer. So all this nonsense about spots being taken and whatnot, if anything, Andrew is creating opportunities for guys.
Bingo. Because
like we said, he's going on the Tonight Show. He's going to these mainstream avenues that these guys in AEW, for lack of a better term, should be killing for.
Yeah.
Everything he has promoted in the last 35, 40 days, whatever it is, has had the AEW connection to it. And I don't care if it's Paul Bosch, Teeny Jarrett, Gulas, whoever, whatever promoters, Vince, Tony Khan, Heyman, it's never changed. A promoter will try to get the most they can out of you with paying you the least amount. It's how the world works. And the talent's job is to do whatever they can to try to get the most money out of that promoter. That's it. That's the basic relationship between a promoter and a talent. So, of right. course, a promoter is going to look for somebody if they can pay them X amount of money to get the most they can versus the guy they have to pay almost the same amount of money to and not get that. So, of course, that's what they're going to do. And the boys' objective, and the boys and girls, is to try to get as much as they can. Whether, you know, and that, if they want to work as little as possible, whatever that is, that all goes into it, too, at different points in your life. But
why do you think Logan Paul is signed? Because he gets more, they get more juice out of him than 10 NXT signees. Bottom line.
100. They get more results in juice out of one Logan Paul contract than they will out of 100 people from NXT. I'm telling you right now.
People who are arguing about spot placement and match cards don't know the business side of wrestling and the fact that everything comes down to formatting, licensing, branding, merchandising, and a whole lot of other contractual things that the three of us can't even comprehend because we're not sitting there in an actual production office booking this shit. So I guarantee
you guys know internet and TikTok better than me, but I would venture to say in the top five at this point, it's like Mr. Beast, Logan Paul, Andrew and the Costco crew. So right there and then, two of those three people are involved in the pro wrestling business, Andrew and his clan and Logan Paul. So it's like between them two, they have more followers and interaction, not here in the United States, across the world, than almost all these other people combined, dude. It's laughable.
As we get further and further away from monoculture, we have to remember what ties us all together.
Yep.
And I think that at the end of the day, the more we get back to circling back to the carnivalistic days of wrestling, where you would bring in these outside attractions as a way to get buy rates and draw marks in. We have to remember that they ain't paying to see our wrist locks and our hip tosses. Nope. They're paying to see the show. Bottom line, give them the show.
They're not paying to see their neighbors. They're paying to see superstars. Cornette on his pod a couple weeks ago, it was very interesting, man. He was just saying how and he said, this would still work today, and I don't know why people doing it. Just grassroots promoting in your local town, on local radio, ticket giveaway, all that stuff, man, with local homegrown talent mixed in with a couple other people would still work today. So I just don't know, when people say this about their spot and this and that, that just irked me, man, hearing that. I was like, this is so stupid. This is still going on.
Get off the message boards. Get off the message boards. Get off the internet and go out and do something. Seriously.
Dude, something productive. Look at you guys. You guys have completely transformed your business model and at your work and everything else to be part of one of the fastest growing and hottest things in 2024, the JCW brand. I mean, it's awesome, dude. Very proud.
You too, Johnny. About AJ and Big Justice too, is all of their success has been on a free platform. They're not behind a pay window in any way, right?
No, he does the live thing, and I think they make some money. I don't know. I honestly, full disclosure,
but it's not
correct. They're not like a Patreon right, or OnlyFans.
Exactly.
Fan
so,
thing and all
so
that,
I think putting him on the pre-show makes perfect sense because we don't know yet how they are going to translate into buy rates because it's never been done.
Correct.
So why take that risk?
No, I agree, man. And I'll probably go. He asked me if I wanted to go. I'll probably go.
Where is it? North Jersey?
It's in the Prudential Center in Newark.
Okay.
Killer restaurant right around the corner from there. So that's kind of what I want to go to. But
all right, I'll drive you there, and I'll wait at the restaurant.
If you want, yeah. Nah, yeah. We could dine beforehand. We'll make it happen.
Okay, bro.
But I'll That'd go to that. Great. Brother.
Get a
yeah, man,
special.
That was it, dude. That was my deal, man. So
good job.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was a good 15 minutes / 50 shades.
Thank you.
Good job. So real quick. So Friday we went to see Eagles the Eagles player McCoy, who just got put into the Super Bowl, the Hall of Fame. So we were there promoting the event. I want to show you this. Check this out. We were at the autograph signing for his vodka and tequila at the link with Buffalo Wild Wings. Big shout out and thank you to Elvis from Buffalo Wild Wings. You are the best, man. So Q102 DJ was there.
They not like us.
Yo, and that's you cool. Can't see it. One of the guys from Always Sunny was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not one of the main ones. It was Mac's brother, I think, or something. I don't know. He was introducing him. He was putting himself over as one of the guys. So I'm not sure.
Bro, those are the kind of events you have to attend as a promoter or street team. And get the word out. Every single one of those is important. There's no such thing as too much promotion. That's asinine when I hear people say that.
Right, right.
Well, you got 10 people in your audience.
Before we do the second half of the show, I got to warn everybody right now. This Thursday, Damon Feldman of Celebrity Boxing is having another press conference at Harrah's. And Robbie's going.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
This can't end well.
So that means I'm going because I'm not letting. Last time we were at the gathering, Tommy, that's why we couldn't go and Robbie had to go.
Right, right.
I'm legit scared what's going to happen this Thursday.
You should be scared.
Just tell people you don't know them. If it goes sideways, do what I do when I go to Atlantic City with friends and some of them get too messed up. I say, I have no idea who that is.
Wear one of these masks when you go.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Walk in with that.
Yeah, and a hoodie up.
It's a laddie daddy daddy as the hit show. Yeah, do that. I don't even know what the song. I just remember that.
That's so great. Well, anyway. All right, so second half of the show starts, you guys. So it's Homicide versus Declan Grant.
Oh.
Talk about seasoning again. Homicide was nonstop action the whole time.
Right.
I don't know how he does it. I don't know what his cardio routine is. The match was phenomenal, but Declan Grant came in the back, beat Red. These guys took it to the limit and worked hard. I was out of breath just watching this match. What'd you think of it, Tommy?
I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was out of breath just watching it. I mean, when you wrestle Homicide, you're not just wrestling him. You're going in for a fight, and you kind of just you know you're going to get hurt. You know you're going to get, like, you know, I can't curse because – you know, obviously, but you know, stuff is about to go down. So
yeah. Homicide's in deceptive shape. Like, yeah, I'm not saying he was ever looking like horrible out of shape. He's one of these guys who can go like nonstop, like has an endless gas tank. I never figured out how he could do that. Cause he doesn't look like a bodybuilder, like a super well-conditioned guy or nothing. But when he turns it on in the ring, that dude can go for like an hour straight if he had to. Amazing. Right. I've seen him keep up cardio wise with like Joe and Low Key and Red and all that, so, and not miss a beat, dude. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. No joke. And he was our first champion in SPO. He was our first champion in PWU. The matches him and Trent had were off the charts.
I saw him go toe-to-toe, speed for speed with Trent, which there wasn't too many guys floating around back then that could keep up with him pace-wise, dude.
I couldn't.
I know.
I don't know how he did it.
I don't want to say that, but yeah, you're right.
Oh.
Ooh,
hold on.
Mac.
Hold on. Yeah, I know. It would be this one.
Max. Yeah, nice.
Max. So, yeah. So, next week we'll debut the Donnie B and maybe the Phil Stamper mark.
Yes.
And we'll complete series two. How is Phil? Phil is good. He couldn't make it this evening.
Oh, how is Phil?
How is Gee? Was Gee on last week? Oh, no. Wait,
Gee was on. Yeah, last week. He did. Week before, 2 weeks ago.
Well, for those of you who don't know, Paul Bosch had the Midwest and he got Teeny's book and they have a book in Gulas.
I love when Guy goes into his history of the business.
And yeah,
he's awesome. It with just enough knowledge to put himself.
We
over.
Need to.
I love
Johnny. Can we do bad area, please?
Yeah. Where do you want to do? What's a bad area? Do you have one ready?
I mean, yeah, we got Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, actually, no, I got one. Okay, so this is my one negative thing about the Train of Terror tour, okay? If you are going to offer laundry services in a hotel and you are going to charge said customers or clients who are staying in your hotel for this laundry service, many of whom rely solely on these laundromats in order to do their laundry, at the very least, offer a change machine. Because when we got into St. Louis and Tommy Grayson had to do some post-Fago Armageddon laundry, guess who did not have quarters? The hotel. Or anywhere in town for that matter. St. Louis. Okay? Love wrestling there. But my God, you know, like, as Brian Logan would say, bad area.
Yeah. Paul Bosch hotels had quarters in St. Louis. Yeah.
Yeah. And why are you, like hotels... Why are you charging people to do laundry and then not offering, the thing that they need to do it, like quarter machine?
You know what we need to do? Listen, for Trip TV, we need to do the Simon Gotch hotel room washing machine gimmick that he does. Because he washes his stuff in the sink and he taught me how to do it. And there's a whole method to his madness and we need to go through it step by step and teach the world how this is done. Because I know, let me tell you something. People don't wash their friggin' pads as much as they should.
No, I try and wash them.
You've got to wash your pads after every match.
After every match.
That's the new rule. If you're brushing your teeth, if you're brushing your teeth in a locker room before a match, all right, that's not enough. All right, your pads need to be clean too.
Well, here's a novel thought. Get more than one pair. So if you're cycling them out, you know what I mean? Like, I know that's very foreign to a lot of people to have more than one of something, but
I had three pairs on tour.
But you know, they'll have 50 copies of the new video games that just came out, but they can't get more than one pair of pads. Yeah. Or Starbucks every day. Yeah.
So we mentioned Simon Gotch. So we had Simon Gotch, Spo Wrestling debut, taking on Rick Effenblade, first one-on-one singles match in over 20 years. Philly return. You know, this was a match that I don't think anyone ever expected to see, but one of those things that, like, once you saw it happening, it was like, oh my God, why has this not happened yet?
And it got match of the night, according to the three fans, Danger Ginger, they're on the podcast. Wow. They gave it match of the night. It was awesome. Donnie, did you see the tarantula spot he did?
No, I gotta watch. I have full disclosure. I have not watched it yet. I do want to watch it.
Blade is still innovating.
Crazy, dude.
Think about that for a second. Blade literally innovated a few different things the other night. Things that literally don't exist in wrestling had Blade not wrestled Gotch Saturday. They now exist because Blade invented them. That was awesome, dude. It was, Donnie. And guess what?
What?
The rep came out and attacked the two of them, and the match got thrown out. And next show, it's Blade and Gotch as a tag team against the rep. Now, You were here for the face-off live between Gotch and Blade, right?
Yes.
Do you know how many people said to me after that, Johnny, I think you have a tag team on your hands in those two, not adversaries? More than, like, probably at least 3 or 4 people said that to me. And it made me think, like, wow, I never thought about that. But they're a lot alike, man.
Yeah, the birth of the mega powers.
The mega powers, bro.
Yeah.
That's it. I love it. But yeah, so that's going to happen next time. We're going to announce our date real soon, guys. Real soon. Stay tuned to Spo Wrestling on Instagram because we're going to be making an announcement real soon about the future. I know we're past 8 o'clock, but we're going to keep on going, guys, because the next match was another banger. Do you remember what was next, Tommy, after the Rick Blade match?
Well, it would be the impromptu, or I should say surprise, unexpected Spo Wrestling tag team match between Tommy Two Dope and Violent JP, the Backseat Boys, against Post Game. Yeah, we are.
Yep. Marks. Donnie, so these guys, let me tell you something. All right, I'm going to put these guys over. Tommy, if you want to walk out of the room so you don't blush, I'm going to put you over a little bit.
Sounds
Donnie,
good.
To see the growth that these guys had, and the way they're leveling up, as we were talking about, and the seasoning that is now in the sauce of the backseats. I personally could not be a happier backseat boy. Thank you, Donnie. Awesome.
Hey, bro, that's so awesome, dude. It's called confidence. It's called confidence, man.
But it's the intangibility of it. You don't know what it is that's different between now and then. I think that them working so closely with it, with the Insane Clown Posse, with Violent J, with JCW, it gave them an alternate second color palette to color with.
Yes,
that
yes,
the back seats
yes.
weren't able. We weren't able to give them. You know,
no. it's like they're only coloring like with the paints that we had. You and
that's
I.
That's right.
So now that's they right. get a whole. You're right. A whole new palette.
Whole new palette, that's and awesome, now dude. That's it. Sky's the limit for them now. All right, so Tommy, you can come back now. We're done talking about you.
Enter.
Yeah, but if he comes back, then he heard me, so it didn't know. But it doesn't matter. But anyway, so they had a sick match. Now, listen, they wrestled post-game. That's Miami Mike, who I think he's hysterical.
Is that the guy from Maryland?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that guy. I love that guy. He does like a throwback, like an 80s kind of thing a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I know.
And what is it? Whole lot of... Vinny
Talata. Whole lot of Vinny Talata.
Whole lot of Vinny Talata.
That is an awesome name. What is his gimmick?
The same as Miami Mike.
He's a broccoli head.
He is.
Oh, I love it. That is yeah, dude. Well, like, if they come from Corporal, they gotta be awesome. So
well, he's strong, they're good. It was a really good and they went against these guys. It was a great match. Now, the fans in the recap show didn't like post game. They're bad guys, but let me tell you something. Some of their tag moves were next level. They were doing bing, bang, boom in a row. And it was just like, whoa, fireworks. I was impressed and I don't get impressed by tag teams easy. Okay. No. But Primal Fear. And now along post-game. With post game, we have a sick tag division. The backseats, the rep, Blackout,
Blade and Gotch.
Like, dude, we got one of the sickest tag divisions right now. That makes me so happy as a tag team wrestler.
That's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So facts. Happy, bro. Donnie, did you see that Joe Dombrowski has restored your Mischief Night show that you talked about?
Really? The Mischief Night match?
Yep.
When is it?
It's all up on his Twitter, you guys.
He contacted me and said... they were doing that and a bunch of other dentist shows. That was cool. I'm kind of surprised nobody's ever done that around that weekend of Halloween. Like,
I know.
Shouts out to Joe Dombrowski. Him and Zach Amico were the absolute MVPs on commentary for the Train of Terror tour. They stepped up when we couldn't get our normal commentary team of Juggalo Joe Galli and Manny Fresh for the entirety of the tour. Joe, I've said this a million times. I'm going to say it a million more. He's a wrestling almanac. Any story, good, bad, ugly, funny, or anything in between, he's probably been there if it's over the last 20 years. And I'm really excited that not only is he working with JCW, but he's working closely with the backseats and Donnie B because he's a wrestling historian and we need as many wrestling historians at our disposal as possible because he is unarchiving some, not only, Donnie B footage, but a lot of old Trent and Johnny footage that might have not ever seen the light of day beyond fan cam stuff. No. So, you know.
Yeah, he had reached out to me and asked me for a bunch of notes on some of the dentist shows from what I could remember for some of the matches. And I watched it. It did bring back a lot of memories. And I was able to give him a lot of footnotes on stuff. It was cool. I was glad to do it.
Yeah. And speaking of commentary, Grim Reefer and Scott Holiday together were phenomenal. You guys, when we are about to be finished in just a few minutes, because we're already up to the main event, I'm going to give everyone the link on YouTube to the first half of the show. So you can leave here, and if you want, whenever at your leisure, you can watch the whole first half of Roll the Dice on
With YouTube. Refined commentary and refined videos. Obviously, the Superpower Hour is going to be the new format for Spo Wrestling highlights and stuff. And Trip TV is going to be more the backseat vlog in the meantime. But it'll all still be connected in the same backseat Spo extended shared universe, you know, as it relates to. But main event time, right. Kashmir.
Main event time, you guys. So the Feral Face defends his gold title for the first time ever. The man that does not feel pain proved to the world. If you had eyes in your head, you can see that the man does not feel pain. Some of the punishment he took from Pat was just ungodly. Pat Dynamite came out, got his dog back. Donnie, did you happen to see Pat Dynamite get his dog back?
No, I did not.
The vignette he put out Thursday?
No, I got to see it.
Bro, the dog wrote a ransom, like a note. licked it, put it in the toilet, flushed the toilet, and it popped up in Pat's house. Like, and he told Pat how to come save him. Yeah, it was so cute. We'll show that. That'll be on
I gotta see that, bro.
That'll be on the Superpower Hour. It'll all be coming up. Yeah, so.
Tremendous.
Yeah, if anyone has the link to the show, you can put it in the chat, and then we'll give that out. So, Pat Dynamite and Face Donnie B, what a the fans gave it the second best match of the night after Blade and Gotch.
That's high praise.
I got to tell you, man, they had the crowd, bro. They had the crowd. They were yelling Dynamite. They were so impressed. It was just a wonderful match. It went back and forth. It had everything that a title match should have. I mean, these guys main evented for the first time, both of them, and just killed it. I could not be happier with our main event. And let me tell you something. Face is someone that I've had a lot of problems with in the past, but I'm getting to the point where I almost can't help but like this dude. He's so different.
Yeah,
you hate him so much that you can't help but like him.
A promo where he was kneeling down outside like a brick wall, or whatever, and I was watching it. I'm like, this guy has like a charisma to him, like a magnetism. Like he's got something. That guy, he does.
He sure does. He sure does.
Figure out just how to tap into it. He will.
Yep, exactly. So what a wonderful event, man. From top to bottom, we had so much fun.
I'm so happy for you, bro.
Everyone had fun. You know, it was just a great time. Todd Gordon was there. Got to see him. He got to reunite. Great. He got to reunite with Bufa. They haven't seen each other in, God, a decade or so or more. Yeah. It was just so nice seeing everybody. HC Loke, you know, I actually got to sit and share a meal with him upstairs and look out over the racetrack. It was so much fun. The casino's so much fun, man. It really is. People got to get there. Yeah, you got to get there, Donnie.
I will.
We're going to announce our date real soon, hopefully in the next few days. And we also have another big announcement. There's a few things up our sleeves.
Awesome.
That we're going to announce soon. I can't announce yet, but we're pretty damn excited. So
Exciting times. Stay tuned.
Stay with us. Thank you all for being there. Thank you, Chester, for coming out. Thank you, Mayor Roots. What a superstar Mayor Roots is. What a star. He just gets it, man.
Yep.
And this Thursday, he'll probably be at Damon's press conference for the Celebrity Boxing and the X-Rumble. So I have to be there with my brother just to make sure that God knows what's going to happen. So, guys, keep that in mind. Check out Celebrity Boxing on Instagram, and you'll be able to watch on YouTube, on their YouTube as well. You'll be able to actually watch the press conference live this Thursday, and we'll see what happens. You'll see me there trying to restrain Robbie and not make him dig this hole any deeper with the mayor of Chester.
Thank you, sirs.
Yeah, this was a good one. Donnie, thanks for joining us, brother.
Yeah, man. Sorry I was a little late. Just family obligations took over, and that's that, but I'll be back here next week, my friends.
It happens, Philly Mike. Ah! You never know.
Hey, I didn't Jacob Fatuya. No, I heard that was all cleared up. I'm just ribbing. Mistakes can happen, but they owned up to it. That's cool.
Card subject to change, brother.
Thank you, buddies. And with that, I will bid you adieu as I go watch some more what the fuck am I saying? Oh, excuse my French. Election coverage.
Yep.
Sorry, Mayor. All right. Goodbye, all.
All right, you guys. Have a good one, everyone. God bless.
Peace.